It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about a recording studio in Madison that's recorded some musical legends over the years, including Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins.
First, last night's Democratic debate spotlighted differences between candidates Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton on gun control. The back and forth centered on a law that makes it difficult to sue gun manufacturers and gun stores for damages caused by legally purchased firearms.
The debate came right on the heels of a court decision that moves forward a lawsuit involving the parents of victims in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting against the makers of the rifle used in that attack.
Joining us now to discuss the case is UCLA law professor Adam Winkler. He follows Second Amendment legal issues. His most recent book is Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with a law that's really at the center of this case and this presidential debate, a 2005, I believe, law called the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. Can you tell us what that did?
This law was designed by allies of the NRA to prevent lawsuits against gun manufacturers and gun dealers when their guns are used by criminals to commit some crime and cause some damage. In the 1990s, victims of gun violence were suing gun makers and gun dealers, saying that they were negligently putting products into the stream of commerce that they knew were deadly. And the gun makers and the NRA's allies responded by adopting this law, which said, barring exceptional circumstances, and the law lists a couple of those circumstances, these gun makers and gun dealers are immune from liability.
And the case from supporters of this law was that, hey, these are products made legally. These are products sold legally. So people involved in the legal process of making and selling these things shouldn't be liable for someone else's use of them in an illegal way. That was the case for this.
That's right. Some products, when they're designed in a certain way and the manufacturer knows that they're dangerous, sometimes the law imposes liability on them to try to get them to make their products less dangerous. Say a car that doesn't have seatbelts. You want to encourage them to have seatbelts, so you might hold them liable for producing a car without those seatbelts. But with regards to guns, it's the very basic feature of the gun that makes them dangerous. They shoot a powerful projectile at a very high speed, and they're designed to kill someone or injure someone if they are attacking you. So these guns were being used in some ways for their intended use, not in some exceptional way, and the danger that they posed was known by everybody. So is it fair to hold the gun makers liable?
So the upshot is it makes it harder to hold them liable, and yet we have this case yesterday, going back to the Sandy Hook school shooting a few years back, some people, parents of victims, suing the gun manufacturer in maybe an exemption in this law. Can you explain the reasoning that might make their case an exception?
Sure. Well, the law has a few exceptions. It says if gun dealers or gun makers knowingly violate a state or federal law, then they can still be held liable. We saw in Wisconsin there was a case last year, the Badger Guns case, where a gun dealer seemingly knowingly helped someone buy a gun illegally that was then used to shoot some police officers. And Badger Guns, the gun store, was held liable because they had violated the federal laws that prevent that. There are also other grounds. In this case, the main ground is if the gun maker is negligent in producing a firearm, then the immunity law does not cover them. And the plaintiffs here are saying that Bushmaster and Remington were negligent in producing military-style firearms that they knew would be used in things like mass shootings.
In the news yesterday, a Connecticut judge kept this case alive, rejected an effort by the manufacturers here to end the case. But this is not any kind of final decision. This is not a ruling on the merits of this argument over the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. Is that right?
That's right. Yesterday's ruling was a very narrow ruling, a procedural ruling, really, that just said we're going to allow the case to go forward. But it does not mean that the plaintiffs have an easy time ahead of them. This law provides a lot of immunity for these gun makers, and it's still possible that the gun makers will get this case thrown out of court when the court turns its attention to the very merits of the plaintiff's claims.
Talking to Adam Winkler, he's author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America, looking at a lawsuit in the case over the Sandy Hook shooting. This also became an issue in the presidential debate last night. And I want to get to that debate now, a few hours after the judge issued this ruling, keeping this case alive. It was raised in the Democratic presidential debate. Gun control issues, a point of difference between Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton. Let's listen to an exchange between those two last night.
Do you owe the Sandy Hook families an apology?
No, I don't think I owe them an apology. They are in court today, and actually they won a preliminary decision today. They have the right to sue, and I support them and anyone else who wants the right to sue.
Well, I believe that the law that Senator Sanders voted for, that I voted against, giving this special protection to gun manufacturers and to dealers, is an absolute abdication of responsibility on the part of those who voted for it. This is a unique gift given to only one industry in the world.
Adam, let's tackle that point. Is this a unique protection for gun sellers and manufacturers, a unique gift, as Hillary Clinton just said?
It is a unique gift in many ways. I think most businesses, when they produce a product that is used as intended, are not going to be held liable. So in that sense, it's not unusual. However, the law does provide more protections for gun industry than you might otherwise have for, say, toy manufacturers or other kinds of products. So there are some differences between what this law provides and what kind of immunity other manufacturers have.
So for a gun manufacturer, if I'm using a firearm and it turns out it's defective, it misfires and injures me somehow, this law wouldn't protect them in that case. That could, I could sue them maybe for negligence if that's the case.
That's right. If this gun goes off and explodes in the shooter's hands and injures someone, say, at a gun range, well, then the gun maker can still be held liable for producing a product that is defective. However, what the law does is say, if that product is used by a third party, or sorry, it does injury to a third party as a result of criminal acts, then there's absolutely no liability. In some other businesses, in some other industries, you might have liability if the manufacturer knew and had reason to know that the product would be used by criminals and would be used to cause harm.
Let's key back in now on this case in Connecticut over the Sandy Hook shootings. As we mentioned, the judge's ruling isn't a ruling really on the merits of the case. It was procedural, as you said. What are you looking for going forward? How likely is it that the court should rule in favor of the families, given the laws we have in place?
I think the families have a very tough road ahead of them. Court after court after court that's ruled on these kinds of cases has tended to find that, barring exceptional circumstances, like in the Badger Guns case, where the gun dealer seemed to purposefully and intentionally break a federal or state law, usually these cases do get kicked out of court at some point or another. I would expect that there's a good chance that that happens in this case, although one never really knows.
Supposing it did go through in the courts, is this just a minor exception to this law we've been talking about, or would this be a crack and we'd expect to see other similar lawsuits proceed?
I think we can expect to see other lawsuits proceed, and if the plaintiffs win this case, it's not just a small crack, but a major victory, because their basic claim is that gun makers made a gun that they knew would be used for criminal activity and cause a lot of damage, and yet, and as a result, they're liable for that. When push comes to shove, every gun maker knows that their guns are going to be used by criminals at some point in time to do harm, and in fact, much more likely to commit harm than one of these Bushmaster or Remington military-style rifles is the ordinary handgun. Are handgun manufacturers going to be liable next? I expect we'll see quite a few more lawsuits if the plaintiffs win this case.
Now, this law we've been talking about passed back in 2005. Has there been any effort to overturn it in Congress or tweak it in any way since then?
There has not been a significant effort to tweak it, although bills have been introduced. You know, Republicans control the House of Representatives, and just as President Obama's proposals for new gun control laws after Newtown back in 2013 found that they couldn't go anywhere with Republicans having the influence that they have in Congress, I think any effort to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act will face that same hurdle.
And in this case, in the Democratic Democratic presidential debate, these votes by two senators at the time in 2005, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, also Barack Obama for that matter, came back as part of the record to haunt them. Are we going to see this kind of continued scrutiny of how people vote on gun issues?
I think so. You know, one of the big differences between this presidential election and the last few that we've seen is that guns are a major issue in the campaign, especially on the Democratic side. You know, for years, Democratic candidates, including Barack Obama, ran away from the issue of gun control because they thought it was a loser come election day and it was going to cost them votes with independents. What we're seeing since Newtown is a real change in gun control politics. The gun control movement has been reinvigorated, and the Democratic Party views gun control as an electoral winner now.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Adam Winkler, professor of constitutional law at the UCLA School of Law, talking about a Connecticut judge's decision yesterday to allow a lawsuit against gun makers to move forward.